Linda's going to show us a video in just a second that Allison found that someone made of Floresville this weekend. As you're watching it, I don't want you just to watch it. I'd like for you to pray when you see somebody's home, when you see the school, when you see a business, when you see the first responders, when you see these people that have come to help, those kinds of things. Would you just pray for them? Would you thank the Lord? Also, as you're watching it, that didn't come about 2 hours later when it hit the school. And thank the Lord that we didn't have loss of life. So as you watch the little video, would you be in prayer to the Lord?
Thank you.
It's hard to believe that's our town. And it's amazing. You know, as we get in thinking about our message today, I just want to say thank you to all those first responders, the people that came and helped and worked so hard with people and logistics and also just people's needs. I know that the disaster team that we have with the Texas Baptist Men, as a matter of fact, across the street, they have a shower stall that they brought for anybody that needed a shower, and they've been here, and they were ready to have the dining hall and whatever they needed to do to help here. And our leader from our area is right here. Would you stand up so everybody can see you? He's right there, and we want to thank you for being here today. Those guys work hard, let me tell you. I was in Dallas at a convention one time, and I was sitting there at lunch and sitting next to some guy that I didn't know. And he wasn't a Baptist. And I said, "Where are you from?" And he said, "Well, I'm from New York City." I said, "Well, I've heard of that place." And he said, "Well, tell me about yourself." And so I told him I was a Baptist and a Baptist preacher. And he said, "Man, we love the Baptists in New York City." I said, "Excuse me?" He said, "Oh, we love them." He said, "When 911 happened, there were men in these yellow vests all over New York City. And it was the disaster relief team, all the men, and they'd gone up there to help. With all the stuff that was going on in New York." And he said, "Those guys, they work so hard." And he said, "Everybody in New York City loves the Baptists." I said, "Well, that's great." I'm thankful. I'm so thankful this morning that really it didn't happen about 2 hours later when all the kids would have been in school. We were very blessed in the time that it happened. As I'm thinking about the experience, I guess it was 5:30 or 6 o'clock in the morning or something like that when Allison's phone went off and it said tornado warning. Did y'all note that on your phone? Maybe you didn't do what we did. We just rolled over and went back to sleep. I assure you, I won't do that again. You know what you think? You think that it's just, you just ignore it. You've seen that warning before, you know, or other warnings like it concerning the weather, and nothing happened. You know, you've heard, you know, you're living down in Galveston and they say the hurricane is coming. I remember my dad said, and he said, it's coming into Galveston. And so he traveled all the way over here to Floresville. And from Houston, and the hurricane didn't come. He said, "Next time they say that, I'm not leaving." The next time the hurricane actually came in. That's the way it works. And we get a lot of warnings in life, and we just, we've had it so many times, and so many times it didn't happen, that we just tend to ignore them. You know, that's what people do sometimes with the Word of God. Jesus said, "He who has ears, let him hear." Why do you think he said that? He said because a lot of them had heard the warnings time after time after time and nothing happened. So they thought, I don't need to listen to this. It's just going to be another false alarm. And Jesus spoke about in Matthew chapter 7, as I referenced in my prayer time, about two men that built their houses. And one built it on a solid rock, and the other one built it on sand. And then the storm came, and of course the house that was on the sand was blown away. It was washed away, and that man lost everything. The man that built his house on the rock, his house stood through the storm. Especially when you're younger, you tend to think you're 10 foot tall and bulletproof. You tend to think it's going to always happen to somebody else. It's never going to happen to me. We're all like that. It's just kind of human nature. That's why Jesus said, "He who has ears, let him hear." in our little study in James, we got a little picture up here. And does your talk match your walk? He's talking about faith. He's talking about a faith that works. Because James knew, now by the way, some of you may not know, this is the James that was the half-brother of Jesus. So unlike Jesus, his father was Joseph. Like Jesus, his mother was Mary, but his father was Joseph. And of course, Jesus was born of the virgin birth as he was conceived through the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb. Nevertheless, James grew up with Jesus. So he saw everything that he did. After the resurrection, it was when James became a believer. And here, he has the privilege of writing this epistle through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and probably, I think, the greatest source of credibility for the gospel. Because he was a brother, a half-brother of Jesus, and watched him as he was a little boy, as he was a teenager, and as he was a young man, and noted that Jesus never did anything wrong, that he was perfect. Why? Because he was the God-man. So James is writing this epistle through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and he's talking about faith. He's wanting to make sure that just because the people that he was speaking to were in the congregation, in the community of faith, that didn't necessarily mean that they were a Christian, that they were a believer. You know, if you're born in a garage, that doesn't make you a car. So just because you're a church member, that doesn't make you a Christian. You have to have the right foundation because the storm is coming. Now, we survived this storm, but there's another storm. Our last enemy is the enemy of death. And as far as I know, human beings who die is at 100%. As far as I know. Except for Elijah, of course, and Enoch, and God had a purpose in their life. But God said it's appointed to every man to die once and then the judgment. So unless the rapture occurs, there's a lot of people that won't die then who are Christians. They'll be caught up with the Lord in the clouds. But unless the rapture occurs, we're all going to face that storm of death. And so James, he wants us to be sure that we have the right foundation. So, for example, I guess we could make you like standing here, right? And we could give you a couple eyeballs, give you like an ear here and right there, and a little chin right there, and then a nose right here. And then we got to give you some hair, right? Hair. That's something I don't have a lot of, but there's this guy's got a lot of curly hair up here. So this is you. How's that look? That's good? This is why I'm a preacher, right? So here you are, and you're standing on this foundation. And so what the Lord doesn't want is he doesn't want your foundation to be like, you know, church membership or oh, okay, I got baptized, or, you know, I try to be good. I try to be a good dad, a good father. You know, I read the Bible, you know, all these kinds of things that, you know, I try to be good enough. That's what a lot of people say. You know, all that stuff is not going to work. And so he says here, if I can get my eraser here, and it's right there. So we'll erase all that, right? And then I'll go back over here and get me how about a green one here? What he wants you to, and that's too small there, right there. Let's try that. He wants you to have your foundation, your bedrock, your cornerstone as Jesus Christ. And that's really an ugly picture, so we're going to take that off of there. And we'll just go back here to a faith that works. That's a better deal right there. But you get the message, okay? So in James, he says, hey, he says, here are some things that faith looks like. The faith is a muscle. Every person is born with the muscle of faith, and when you're born, that muscle is dormant. So then you go along in your life, and then somebody shares the gospel with you. And it happens at different ages for all of us. And when you hear, remember faith comes by hearing, when you hear the gospel, then you can make a decision to exercise that muscle of faith and receive the Lord into your life. When you do that, then you're standing on Christ, on the foundation, so that when the storm of death comes, you're not blown away. You're not separated from God. The Bible says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Once, when a Christian dies, they immediately go to be with the Lord. So what James wants us to do is he wants us to go, well, wait a minute, do you really have faith? He doesn't want you just to be a professor of faith. He wants you to say, no, let me show you my faith by the demonstration of my life. And so he gives us these little things in James that we just got through covering, like what does a Christian do with trials and temptation and partiality and the tongue? You see, a Christian who really has faith is going to deal with those things, attempt, practice, working with those things through the power and the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Now, nobody's perfect. Nobody, we still sin as Christians. But there's this new practice that's going on. And I was sharing, you know, with Charlotte. We were talking with each other. Charlotte just got baptized, and she had a similar background that I did, and wasn't in a Baptist church. And we got to talking about how we became Christians and how that affects our family and the change that occurred. And one of the things that I remembered is when I first told my dad that I got saved, he yelled at me, he screamed at me, and he said, "Don't talk to me about God." And he was angry. And then about 7-8 months later, I made the decision to get baptized like these three did today. And my dad was working in the wood shop. He didn't, in his garage, he didn't come to watch my baptism, but he said, "Go soak up God, Mike." In other words, between that 7-month period of time, he began to mellow. He began, his heart became a little more, or it became tender towards what was happening. And then about 2 years later, he actually walked down the aisle in a church, and in a Baptist church, First Baptist Lake City, and he asked the Lord to come into his life. He was about 40 years of age at that point. What happened? What happened was, is that when I initially gave my profession, it really didn't mean much to my dad, because dad knew what kind of teenager I was. I was a great teenager, which means I was doing lousy. Okay, I was being what most teen, you know, you're just into yourself. You know, we all grow up that way, all of us, and some of us never grow out of that. But I was just all about me. And Dad knew that. He knew that I was a sinner, believe me. But then I made this profession. Didn't mean much to him. What then began to mean something to him? What became meaningful? My faith, the muscle of faith, began to be exercised. My life began to change. My dad noticed that I had a whole new respect for him as my father and as a person. My dad noticed that I began to honor him in ways that I had not done so before. Why did I begin to do that? Because God began to change my life. Man, I began to read the New Testament. Honor your mother and father. Children, obey your parents and the Lord. Doesn't matter whether you agree with them or you don't agree with them. You're going to submit to their authority. God has put them over you so that they can watch over your souls. And God began to change my life. And I began to witness to others, and I was very involved in church and all this stuff. My dad saw that, and he said, "There's something to this. That's what James is talking about." He's saying, if all you have is a profession, your faith is useless. It doesn't mean a thing. He said, when you have real faith, when you're standing on Christ, God has changed your life. Now remember in James chapter 1, he said, don't get angry. He said, be slow to wrath, but rather receive the word of God with meekness. Remember when he said that? In other words, James is saying here, through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, when you hear God speak, don't get angry at God. Now, in early service, we actually read the text. We won't have time this morning, but it's in Luke chapter 4. I was listening to it this week as I was walking. Great text in Luke chapter 4. Great illustration. You remember when Jesus started his ministry? I mean, he's just right out of the gate. Goes, after he gets tempted, goes over to Galilee, and the Bible says that he went to Capernaum, and he went to Nazareth, and he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath, as was his custom, it noted. What does that mean? That means Jesus was in the habit of going to church. That's what that means. That means he habitually went week after week. Did you know in the Western culture church, the average church member comes once every 6 weeks? So if you do a six-week topical lesson, they're going to catch one out of six. That's lousy if you're a preacher, man. That's no fun. And that means you're really doing good. Now, don't believe that here. No, Jesus was in the custom of going every week. So should we be. Jesus said, follow me. How do we follow him? We watch what he did. We watch the way he lived his life. So he goes to Galilee, and as his custom was, he went to the congregation there at where the assembly was meeting for all the Jewish people, and he read his text in Isaiah. And the Bible says after he got through reading the text in Isaiah, and he said, so this scripture is fulfilled, that everybody was kind of peachy creamy at that point. But then he said something else. He said, I tell you the truth, a prophet is accepted except everywhere in his own hometown. Well, Nazareth, this is where he grew up. And he said, let me tell you about a lady and a man. There was a lady up in Sidon of Tyre, and God sent Elijah not to any of the other widows in Israel, but up in Gentile country to her to take care of her needs. And then there was another instance where there were lepers all in Israel. There were all these Jewish lepers. And Jesus said, but God did not send Elijah to one of those lepers in Israel, but rather to the commander of the Syrian army, Naaman, the arch enemies of Israel. And God healed him of leprosy. Do you know what they did when they heard Jesus say that? Luke chapter 4, they went from peachy creamy to really ugly. And they got so angry. Now, folks, this is called a blow up, okay? They got so angry, they picked him up and carried him to the cliff and were going to throw him off. Now, when we talk about the cliff, you go to Nazareth, there's no high mountains there. What they do is they take you to a place where there's about a 15-foot drop-off. They pick you upside down, and they drop you so that you will hit your head, hopefully break your neck. If you don't break your neck, then they're going to stone you after that. That's what they intended to do with Jesus. And why did they intend to do that with Jesus? Because he said something they didn't like. Now, Jesus says that through James, that if you have real faith, when you hear the word of God, when you hear God speak, you won't get mad at him. Because he's going to tell you some things sometimes that you don't want to hear. He's going to give you some warnings that you may want to ignore. That's why Jesus said, he who has ears, let him hear. So I'm thinking about the little thing that came off the phone there and warning, tornado warning, and I just rolled over and went back to sleep. And I think a lot of people are doing that spiritually today. James is saying, You don't want that to happen to you. You want to listen. I just gave you some warnings along in this message. I just told you some things about character and your life and your practice that God wants you to hear. I'm just wondering, as you've listened, will you turn over to, will you roll over to, after hearing what the Lord has to say, and just go back to sleep? The storm's coming. You want to be ready. And here's what I want to do. I want to say, everybody, to bow their heads, close their eyes, because I just want to make sure, that's why we're here. I want to make sure that every single person in here has had an opportunity to not only hear the gospel, but receive the Lord Jesus Christ into their life, to exercise that muscle of faith. So if you're a person that's here today, it doesn't matter where you've been to church, or if you've been baptized 1,000 times, or you were born in a garage, it doesn't matter. Here's the truth. God loves you. He loves you so much that He sent God the Father, His only Son, to become a man, to die on the cross for you. Why? To pay your debt. You've sinned. You've broken God's law. You owe God a debt you cannot pay. God says, you know what? I'm going to pay it for you. I'm going to do it through my Son. And so on that cross that you should have died on, Jesus died for you. He took your place. The Bible says then He was buried after He died, and He rose again on the third day, and He's alive today. And right this moment, He wants to come inside your life. But He will not do it without your permission. Will you give Him your permission today? Do you believe that Jesus is God, and He did this for you on the cross, and that He's alive today, and that He wants to forgive you for your sins? Would you say, yes, I believe? Would you say right now, yes, Lord Jesus, come into my life and save me. Forgive me. Give me eternal life. Make me the kind of person that you want me to be so that I can face that final storm of death. I don't want to roll over and go back to sleep. I want to be alive with you in this life and in the next. Save me, Lord Jesus, right now. If you prayed that prayer just now, Jesus Christ just came into your life. Welcome to the family of God. Now you've got the opportunity to really exercise a muscle of faith. Father, thank you for today and the lessons you bring, even through the experiences that we have that sometimes are painful and difficult. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.